Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to a very special evening edition
of
Yo, Is This Racist?
The podcast where we listen to your voicemails about racism with the help of a special guest or guest or sometimes no one, like right now, and Andrew T over there and me, Tawny Newsome, we answer people's questions. But first, we talk about a little bit of current events and shit.
Damn. So succinct.
How was that?
What are we doing with ourselves? Usually I feel like, you know what? It's we're recording a little to, we'll say much later in the evening than normally that we do. So it's got a real, we're getting shit done. This is sort of a TCB kind of vibe.
My eyes are physically closed. I just want the listener to know through this whole, but I am not asleep. I just have to, when it reaches a certain hour of the night, I have to physically close my eyes, whether I'm awake or not. Uh-huh. So that's what's going on over here.
It's the eye shutting hour for old Tawny Newsome here.
Got to get some shut eye.
Literal shut eye. Yeah. I've been to your place in the desert before.
Yes.
It is moments like this that I realize I truly do not appreciate how fucking dark it is when the sun goes down out there.
It is very dark.
Because you do look a little tiny bit on the Zoom as if you are being held hostage. is a little. I mean, it's like nice, but it is like, damn. Oof. Damn, it's dark. Damn, it's dark out there.
These lights that I have in the studio, these are great, like, sit around, have a beer, listen to some records, play some music if you want. This is good, like, vibey lights. This is not good be very present on a podcast lights. So before we started, I did have the option. I turned on a ring light that I have for like self tapes, and it blinded me. It hurt me. It gave me a headache. Yeah. And Andrew said, my friend, you don't have to do that.
No, I like this. I like this, like, just kind of, again, this is like after hours. I should be having a, I think we may have moved into Campari and soda season.
Ooh. Oh yeah. I remember because last year, the first March of the pandemic, we were doing a lot of Campari beverages and a lot of Negronis. I feel like you, me, and Zig and Kara Brown and Jessica Gao over our text.
I think it's back. In fact, I just got a new bottle of Campari. So it's
you
it's
simply
back.
Must when it is March and a pandemic, you simply must enjoy Campari.
Campari. That's just a little spec advertisement for the Campari Corporation, I assume owned by someone evil.
Who knows?
But
I'm not drinking. I've told you all this before. I'm also on a cleanse, which I will talk about more in the premium show because we don't do that shit here. This is the serious show where we talk about racism. Hey, I heard that, Kevin. What's up?
Hi, everyone.
Producer Kevin's here.
Hey, I'm Kevin. Sorry I kept turning my camera on and off. My girlfriend was trying to grab something and saw that I was on Zoom. So she was actually crawling below.
But
she was still in the shot, so you could just see someone crawling behind me. So I just was trying to tell her she could just stand. Like, you don't need to crawl. So I kept turning my camera on and off.
You don't need to crawl.
A little teeny tiny bit hoping this is how we see Kevin's end. You know, just someone sneaks up behind him and that's it for Kevin. But alas, it is not to be.
That's how it ends. Sorry about your cleanse. That sounds not fun.
It's all right. We'll talk about it in the premium show. This is not what we do here.
Yep.
Another place, another time. Racism news,
including Chicago Meats.
Yeah. If you're not subscribed to Yo Can We Live, again, that's at suboptimalpods.com. Suboptimal Pods, the optimal place to subscribe to our podcast. On the premium show, Kevin and I have started doing something we're calling Chicago Corner, where we just reminisce about different meats we miss from the Windy City.
I have a good Chicago Corner story for this week. I'm excited to share.
Okay, well, tune into that. That'll be out this Friday again. Suboptimalpods.com, various subscription levels for your wallet.
It's just promo. This is great. I love this. We finally got our shit together. We're recording in the evening. Should be drunk, not drunk.
Not drunk.
What a time.
The opposite of drunk. My liver is purging every drink I've ever had, and I feel like absolute garbage. speaking of garbage, you know what's bad? Racism. Andrew, what's the news that you were gonna surprise me with? I know you have one.
I don't actually. I started a new job that I had to actually do work for last week. So
okay.
I was like surprisingly not online. And the only thing when we were scrambling to talk about the news, you had it. So I actually think I'm not gonna surprise anyone today.
We'll see that if he's telling the truth, ladies and gentlemen.
that is my pledge.
Okay, so the only thing that I felt like I wanted to talk about, I'm sure there are lots of things. There are lots of racisms happening all over the world, folks. And thank you for having patience with us that we cannot dissect and analyze every single fucking one of them. And I'm sorry if we don't get your favorite racism. Stop fucking messaging us and telling us we miss shit. This is not the news. Sorry, I'm in a mood, y'all. I'll be better. but I want to talk about, so this story from the fucking Buckingham Palace, from the royals, about Meghan Markle supposedly being a bully, supposedly bullying staff. Now, we all know that the English tabloids are very racist, and they are, they're horrible to all of the royals, but they are a special brand of horrible to Meghan Markle. She's the first American marrying into the family. She's the first Black woman. There's all kinds of reasons why they're shit to her. But I just want to point out, so, you know, and the palace has not stood up for her at all. And they've said, like, you know, oh, we're going to launch an investigation into this bullying claim. We don't tolerate bullying, which is like, yeah, you do. Your whole fucking shit is bullying. It's called colonialism. The first bullying came from your office.
they are the thugs that stole the world's wealth. And they're concerned about bullying now. Like,
we don't tolerate bullying. You owe a lot of artwork back to a lot of different countries. but I just want to point out, like my narrow perspective, I know nothing about the royals. I've never been like a big fan of these people, so I don't care about them. But what I do know is I know Hollywood pretty well at this fucking point. And we all know people who know Meghan Markle. We know people who are good friends with her. We know people who probably don't like her that much and have worked with her. If she was a bully, if she was in any way what they're saying, this news would have flown around town. We would all know it. And the point, and when she married Harry, we would have all been like, ugh, good luck, Harry. Yeah. She's the worst. Like, we would know that there's no secrets in this town. So I just think, I find it ridiculous that they think that they can be like, oh, well, we're going to investigate this. It's like, I've got the investigation for you. Ask any writer's assistant on any show she ever worked.
Yeah.
Ask any PA. There's no
weirdly,
chance.
One of the central premises of the show is that we don't know shit about anything. And this is one of the few times that we do know shit about something, just because, like, anyone who's remotely bad in Hollywood, everyone knows.
You hear about everyone's. I know who has a lover that they live with in their home with their husband, and not even like bad stories. You just hear everyone's shit. Like, you hear it all. And there's no way. There's just no way that this is possible. So it's just clear that it's just pure racism and another smear campaign.
Yeah.
We've had people on this show that worked with her, and I'm pretty sure in, like, you know, getting all like giddy Black princess, I was like, ooh, what was Meghan like to work with? And everyone's like, oh my God, she's a darling. And these people have no reason to lie. We weren't on air.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know where, I don't know why I'm like going so hard for her. I think I'm just like, I think it's ridiculous that they think that anyone could escape LA being a terrible person and not have everyone know it.
We were at one point talking to producer Kevin about this, because it's like, we have all talked so much shit off mic at Earwolf or at other
podcasts. I have to to burn Earwolf down at this point.
Just because they have too much dirt on all the shit that we have said.
They could ruin me.
Treat your producers with respect, because they have... The
best part about Earwolf is that all the engineers and all the producers are great. But even if they weren't, if they wanted to ruin us, we could probably ruin the institution of Earwolf right back. So I think it's just a draw. We're just both holding a little water gun pointed at each other, like, all right.
Oh God. Oh God. Wait, I do have a thing that I was just reminded of.
I knew it.
But we might actually have to cut it.
The trademark surprise.
Wait, we so might actually not have only
to cut it.
All right, but yeah, if we cut it, we're leaving this part in where I say this is the most Andrew shit I've ever seen. You swear you don't have an Audible, then you do call an Audible, and it's something that's going to get you in trouble, so you make us cut it. This is perfection.
Yeah. Well, mainly because, okay, I'm just going to say it because I actually don't even know where the status of this is. But did we figure out if Jay Johnston, friend of probably many people who we're friends with, was at that fucking MAGA rally?
Yes.
It seems like it was, right?
It definitely was. I asked people who know him, and yeah, it's so Jay Johnston, a comic from Mr. Show and all kinds of shit at Comedy Central, and yeah, just as Matt Apodaca put it, a decent body of work, was at the Capitol storming, but and Matt Apodaca put it so perfectly. It was so the FBI put his picture on Twitter and was like, can anyone help identify this person? They did like an image enhanced version of it. Like, can anyone help identify it? And people were literally responding with GIFs from Mr. Show.
Of him,
like,
yeah.
That guy? Yeah.
And playing Matt the Apodaca, president, I think, too. Like,
oh, yeah. He was literally playing the president, wasn't he? He was literally playing the president. So the FBI put that up, like, please help us identify this man. And Matt Apodaca's tweet just says, this is absolutely not the point, but if I thought I had a pretty nice body of work, I'd be devastated if the FBI couldn't identify me. Oh, that made me laugh so hard.
It must have been humbling.
He should fire his reps.
Yeah.
The whole thing was really, So as I have said, I was like not paying attention to Twitter the way I usually do. So I was like online, not online. And when it seemed that that was happening, I came into it thinking it had been more confirmed that it was. So I like tweeted about just dumb shit. Like basically when I worked at Comedy Central doing like web promotional videos, like two of the people I weirdly spent a lot of time with were Jay Johnston and fucking Owen Benjamin. So I was just like, I just have a really high batting average for people that turned, you know, white comedians that turned into MAGA maniacs. It read like I was confirming, and I was like, whoa, I thought someone else had confirmed anyway.
Okay, I should say again,
involved with that.
We are not the news. And just because I seem sure about it because I asked two people who know him, that does not mean shit. So maybe it's not him. Allegedly.
I'm sick
of people thinking podcasts are the news. This is just people talking and you, for some reason, like it. That's all this is.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's fair to say we are less informed than the average person, even when it comes to Hollywood.
When
shit.
The podcast hosts are dancing to their theme song, you can't call it the news.
It is very true.
Yeah.
The Meghan Markle thing, too, I wonder how much that, like, I want to know who's leaking that, because it feels to me like people who are, like, it is a reaction to them leaving, like, the royal home and everything. And I wonder if it's like, I mean, it has to be like people starting shit because she left and being like, you know, she was a bully, actually, and like trying to create a narrative that doesn't exist because they're mad that they left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the fucking British royal family. Like, it's like there's no way in a he said, they said, she said against one said. One said? Does the queen refers to her oneself as one? I don't know.
Or we?
My point is
is it not the we?
Yeah, the royal, is that the royal we? That's where the royal we comes from. I guess my point is there's no world where I believe those people over literally any black person. And that is one line that maybe I will be wrong about, but I feel like as a general rule is pretty correct.
Sorry to any The Crown stands out there.
Your ranking of reliability is the news, this podcast, the Queen.
Yeah, and we don't stand by anything we say. Okay, let's take a break.
Let's take a break. And we're back from our break. We're back. Everyone is back. Everything is fine.
All right. Let's do a little voicemail.
Hello. I am a white HR director, and I recently attended a workshop for HR directors that was about how we can use our positions to dismantle systemic racism in the workplace. And it was a really great workshop. It was a Zoom meeting.
A lot of workshops lately.
And the presenters
lately.
Were awesome. And then there was the chat on the side. And at one point, a person entered a comment in the chat that, and I should say that it was a majority black attendance at this event. And it was a black man who entered a comment that said that if we want to fix racism, we need to bring God back into everything. God in the schools, God in the workplace, God in sports. And, you know, I commented that alarmed me as a person who wasn't a Christian, and a lot of folks jumped in. It got all caps. You can't be right on race if you aren't right with God, a lot of that stuff. And so I just disengaged because generally speaking, I believe when as a white person in anti-racist spaces, I should listen. I should defer to the black people in the space.
Not to that.
Let them lead and believe them when they propose solutions. But in this instance, they're wrong.
Nah.
You can't require people to be Christian in order to require them to be anti-racist. So I was just wondering, what would you recommend a white person do if they are in an anti-racist space and black people are telling them that they should find God in order to fix racism in America? Love the show. Thank you.
Different type of seminar here.
Different type. Oh, my God. This really... That's really very funny. Also, yeah. I love this man's position. Like, you want to get rid of racism, get back to God. You know who's been really, really great on race relations throughout the years are the Christians. Yeah. Like, they've
this
been...
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I mean, I feel like the caller's instincts are correct, but it's also like... I think where the caller goes wrong is that thinking there's sort of like one way of being anti-racist, or there's, you know, like an anti-racist space is only one type of thing. Because it's like, okay, black churches, yes, instrumental in some types of justice, but not all of it.
Sure. And yes, and I can see where a black person who is a Christian has found maybe some of the least racism in their black church and wants to bring that to their work seminar, which is wild. But like, this is the sort of thing where, first of all, caller, I feel like this is a little bit not down on the caller at all. I feel like the caller like knew what to do, like knew that this was fucked up, but just kind of wanted to tell a story. And hey, we're here for it. We need stories on this podcast. but I feel like this is one of those things where it's like all that shit the caller said later of like, when I'm in an anti-racist space, I'm supposed to listen to black people, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, we're not a monolith. And some of us are nuts and wrong. And so the thing is like when white people just get so like, oh, I have to defer to the black person. It's like, you need to be around enough black people. You need to personally know enough black people in your life to be able to differentiate the flavors of lunacy between us and correctness between us, just like you would any other person. Because if a bunch of white people came in the room talking about Jesus and stuff, you'd be like, this is ridiculous. So I feel like you need to know enough of us that you can tell who's on some bullshit. I feel like there's so much like, anti-racism, we must just defer. And it's like, we're still people and some of us are still wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to like take your brain out like go with some, and the caller was not, to be fair.
But no.
I think it is like a thing where it's like, you know, whatever the seminar is.
They were using that language where a lot of people do, where they're like, we must listen to black people, blah, blah. And it's like, that's not
And like, clearly that seminar had an agenda that is not the actual agenda.
Like, right.
They're just, or like, I mean, yeah, that I, it's truly like pretty wild to like, I mean, I, look, I'm not a believer in anything. So like, I don't know, what the fuck do I know, I guess. Like, but it seems very hard in 2020, you know, I guess the arguments boil down to, well, that's not real God. You know, when you point to the vast network of very racist Christians in America and the world. You know, I feel like these people's argument would be like, well, they're not really, but it's like, I don't know. You're kind of rooting, you're wearing the same jersey as some pretty awful people, you know, if it's a sports team kind of thing.
Also, like, this, just regardless of color, this is work, and no one needs to be bringing up religion as a way to fix something. Like, this is work. So I think regardless of the person's color, it's fine to be like, hey, I'm glad that worked for you. That doesn't really have a place, though, here in the workplace, as the fact that we are literally HR people. We should know that.
Yeah, that feels just, I mean, wildly inappropriate. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
people get bold on a Zoom chat because they don't have to say it with their face.
I feel like I never do. Zoom chat's the place where everything's on the fucking record, and that's the place you should be buttoned up the most. Get your shit together, people.
Keyboard warriors out there.
Tawny's seen me slip up on a Zoom chat before.
Wait, that is really? True.
It was very funny.
I thought I pasted a link to a Dropbox after a recording, and I pasted someone else's tweet that I probably clearly had opinions on to like a group of people who I didn't know all of them who are in the Zoom.
Right.
And the worst part is there's no like delete function, like button on the Zoom chat. So that was just like a lot of vocal backpedaling.
You gotta like just kick everyone out of the Zoom. And
dang it, that's what I should have done. I should have ended the Zoom immediately.
You should have just ended the Zoom before anyone could click on it. And then we would have all been like, oh, what happened? Darn. Yeah, we got it.
It's so bad. Like,
oh, no. Oh, something happened.
Uh-oh.
Wait, do people not know? I feel like this was at the beginning of the pandemic, that even the chats that you think are private on Zoom all get saved to like the like minutes of the Zoom.
Yeah, the host can see all of them afterwards.
Yeah, so the host can see everything, even the private shit. So
I've been saying that a lot.
Get your shit together on Zoom, people.
I've heard people who have kids who are doing Zoom school, like little kids will be passing notes to each other in the chat. I think that's really cute. Mm. And then the teacher just gets them all at the end.
My mom's a fifth grade teacher and will like, her students will like turn on their camera and be like, Miss Bartel, look, I learned how to floss. And then they'll start like dancing. And she's like, that's very nice to me, but we're doing math now.
Oh, that's cute.
Shout out to the Zoom teachers.
Shout out to the Zoom teachers indeed. And the teachers back into the dang classroom. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
God.
But I agree with both of you. Sorry, I kind of derailed a little bit. That there's a way to like respect people's religion without telling them that they're wrong. Of like, you can be Christian in your own space, but it's probably not best that you're telling other people to do that. Like,
yeah,
literally preaching their own religion.
It's literally HR. Like, y'all are supposed to know that. I don't understand why this person thought it was okay. I mean, yeah,
those HR seminars are so weird though, because it's always like, they don't really give a fuck about what's right. They just don't want to get sued. I'm truly surprised no one was like, well, they kind
of
do.
I think a lot of I think a lot of the people who get into HR are very like, I think they have a real boner for like equality.
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, I more mean those, like, I feel like when they bring in those consultants to like the, you know, I feel like I have just sit through one at every job I've been through. And it's like, at least in Hollywood, it's so fucking bald that all they care about is, you know, whatever corporation doesn't want to get sued, which is like fair.
Yeah.
That's their job and that's why they're there. But I was like, this feels, these exceptions you're mentioning feel awfully loose and targeted towards, we just don't want to get sued. I don't know.
I've also had that though, where it's like the HR person is like giving a seminar, but then tries to make a joke about something. But really, if you think about it, like the joke was a little problematic, and it's hard not to like call that out of like, hey, I understand you're talking about this. However, that little comment you just made that was supposed to be funny, if we really want to have a seminar, like that was wrong too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so weird that they think they need to do jokes, because the one that I would like the most is just fucking no nonsense, power through it, do it quickly. Like, no one wants to be entertained.
Mm-hmm. I know. And it's truly just like the strength of that person to be like, I'm just going to deliver this dry, important shit and everyone's going to listen and then we're going to get on with our day. But no one can sit with that discomfort so that everyone feels the need to. I told you, I mentioned this last week or a time before. I did have a really great one with one of the guys at Netflix, because he was just like, he was very comfortable. And so it made everything seem way more normal and not like, we don't have to make a weird joke about it, or we don't have to like pull this apart. It was just like a normal conversation. So yeah,
that's the
also
best.
Off track, have but, some,
have some confidence or hire someone fluent in this shit to actually punch your little jokes up.
And again, just we saying. Are available. Yo, is this racist corporate for the low, very high fee of some amount of money.
What did we agree upon last week? $10,000 per half hour.
Per person.
It's high. It's high, but there's a line. There's a line. And we don't want to do it, but we will do it if we have to.
Price.
And we don't want to.
I probably won't show up, but I will still collect the fee.
Yeah. And you know what? It's racist to expect Tawny to show up to your little seminar.
We get a voicemail next week.
Yeah.
So I hired you guys and Tawny.
I'm busy.
That's what you pay for. That is what you're paying for, is the privilege of having paid Tawny.
Thank you. And you're welcome. Let's listen to another voicemail.
Hi, Andrew, Tawny, and potential guest. I have a question about a gift I received. My longtime best friend sent me a hat in the mail that is black and in white letters says "Invert in diversity we trust." I am a white woman and it feels a little bit weird to wear the hat, and I can't quite explain why. Do you think this is weird for me to wear? Thanks for answering my question. Bye.
All right. My reaction to this voicemail when I heard it in the voicemail box was like, if white people don't wear this shit, who is it made for? That's like classic white people wear. I don't think other types of people wear shit like that, right? Am I crazy?
I think the only people who are gonna wear that are corny, regardless of color.
Yeah.
You're corny, you're gonna wear it. If you're not corny, don't wear it. Because you're not fixing something by wearing it.
Yeah. But that's a very specific type of corn that I roll my eyes at, but I am not like, I'm like, all right. You know what I mean?
Wait, what is it a pun on? I literally can't even think of what it's supposed to be. Is it from the Pledge of Allegiance?
I mean, I guess it's from the money where it says "In God we trust."
In God we trust. That's what I was assuming.
Okay. So in diversity,
I don't know.
We trust.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. It's corny and weird.
And I say wear it. Those things are all true, but I say go for it, because who the fuck else?
What are the points of shirts and totes like that?
I mean, it's like a band shirt. It's like, I think that the less like corny version of this is, you know, I feel like we've gotten people calling in being like, I'm white, can I wear a Black Lives Matter shirt?
Sure.
And that like feels a little more like, okay, right. You're sort of like laying your support out for a thing. And it's to, you know, help people to state your support for something.
Yes.
In diversity we trust is a little bit like an e-racism bumper sticker. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And
it reminds me of those peace bumper stickers that have all the different religion signs in it.
Coexist, baby.
Coexist. That's what it is. Yeah. Where like, I think the sentiment behind it is nice, but like maybe it's because it doesn't have enough teeth. Like a Black Lives Matter shirt, I get that. That's a statement. That's going to get you in some conversations with some other whites. And I think that's important. In diversity we trust is like, it's just a, it's a watered down statement.
It's like a pun. Yeah.
And it's a weird pun. It doesn't make any sense.
But it's like just the right amount of nothing. I don't know. I'm just like,
that's what I think that's what I'm getting at. Is it a shirt that's just the right amount of nothing, but that people, and I'm not saying the caller's doing this or the people who gave it to them, but it, people can wear that and think they're doing something,
yeah,
or think they're really mm-hmm. taking a stand, or think they're a better person than they maybe are for wearing something so toothless. I'm just like, mm-hmm. why?
Another thing, I think yeah. you talked about this like a month or two ago of like, where did they buy it from? Of like, did they get this at Gap, or like, are they,
yeah.
is this actually supporting people of color, or is this actual, is this like some mm-hmm. white influencers like TeePublic page?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, all right. Fine.
Wait, Andrew, you like the shirt. Andrew, you like dumb shirts though.
No. Well, I think, was it a hat? I think maybe it was a hat. It was a hat.
Oh, sorry.
Somehow
I
worked.
Keep saying shirt.
But no, just hat. Is worse somehow. No, it's not so much that. I'm just like, it isn't a white or non-white thing. This for sure is for white people. And is what it is. But I'm just saying, I guess, I guess another nice thing about a Black Lives Matter shirt is like, there's presumably a donation. And hopefully you didn't yeah. bootleg that shirt. So like something sort of good also comes from it.
I don't like the pun. I think I'm coming back to.
Do we also, if we were a more organized podcast, this is where we would have merch to plug. But we do not. I just want to point that out. We do not.
As people who've had bad, confusing merch, sometimes inflammatory merch, if taken the wrong way. It took us a while to get something toothless enough to sell to you.
That is true. People like the old Earwolf. I'm trying my best. Water bottles.
Yeah.
People like those.
We can start that up again.
They are also sort of similar to the. It's like just try my best. It's like, is that enough?
No, we literally had to make like the most
yeah
the most vanilla, but I thought that was kind of funny. I think it was jokey
too, yeah,
but
mm-hmm.
who knows, that's also true.
And it was from like a great voicemail too, of like an exhausted white guy.
Yeah
I'm just trying my best. It's also like hard to convey the wild tone of this show on a item that you wear or drink out of.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. That's why this show is like forever pitching merch. It's always just not quite,
just
you know,
not right.
Too many of our jokes do not stand alone as a slogan. And that is
like,
that is a problem.
No, not only do they not stand alone as a slogan, they don't stand alone, period. And you have to know the entirety of Andrew and my personalities.
Yeah. And it's just not a good fit. Anyway,
which is why we went independent, because we cannot be bottled up at a network that doesn't quite get us. We are our own weird floundering thing. That's right. Yo, is This Racist is an independent podcast. You can support us at suboptimalpods.com. There's lots of ways to subscribe. You don't have to do a full big show subscription. You can just give us a little tip for helping you with some racism. That's suboptimalpods.com. That's where you go.
Check out our In Diversity We Trust Crocs, available now.
I'm going to put it on like sports bras. Just go do Runyon in one.
it's merch. Oh, once you put the merch part of it in my head, it's like, you can't unsee that, I suppose.
I'm just going to make a bunch of sweatshirts that say, "Who is this for?"
I like that.
That's our only merch.
I mean, I guess we should maybe actually make the... Let us know if the duck around and find out shirts make sense. That's as close as we have to merch that makes... I mean, it makes no sense in a way that is going to get someone fired. Not going to get someone fired.
yep.
And that's all. Ooh. That's all we bring to the table, really. All right. This is... You know what? It's a late night record. We're doing... This is our episode
this
great. Week.
Yep.
Yeah. Did we, producer Kevin, did we say how people can find you online last time? I don't remember if we did. I don't remember anything.
I don't think so, but I'm on Twitter at Kevin J. Bartelt. But yes, please check out suboptimalpods.com. There's so much good stuff on there.
Producer Kevin.
I was trying to think of, like, do we do a shirt that's like, let's listen to another voicemail, or like a shirt that just says 1997 Cinderella commentary.
Sure. Okay. Well, we'll workshop this off the air, and we'll figure something out for you, dear listeners.
I mean,
but yeah,
it might stay on the air. Who knows? 323-389-7223, 323-389-RACE, Yosis Racist, Tronny Newman, Andrew T.
Those are the handles. Those are the things. Come find us. And if you have a good voicemail about something you did in your life that you were excited about, send it to that same number and we'll do it on the premium show and celebrate you.
Tawny gave some great vacation advice on last week's episode. And we have another one this week.
I did a long filibuster about a bunch of destinations you can travel to once COVID has ceased. Okay.
Yeah.
This is
wonderful
great.
Shit. All right, that's it. Bye, everyone. Peace.
This is Suboptimal.